about 50 years ago, okay, and I don't know whether to call Pastor Guy or John. I feel more comfortable with John if nobody has any problem with that. He was ordained by the Evangelical Church Alliance in May of 1979 and then ordained in 1991 by the Brethren in Christ Church. The first church that they moved to and he pastored was the Guystown Bethany Church from 1979 to 1981. In December of 1981, they moved to Niffley, Kentucky, to the Niffley Brethren in Christ Church. And I remember Marilee and I went down there a couple times to visit them, and that was interesting. And in 1981, they moved to Niffley, and he served as a pastor down there for 4.5 years, okay? Then in 1986, they moved back to Pennsylvania, and he worked in the Christian school for 3 years, and Sue also taught in that school. And while there, he served as a national evangelist for the Brethren in Christ Church until 1990. Then in October 1990, they moved to Everett and became pastor of the Clear Creek Brethren in Christ Church. And he also served in the evangelistic work for various churches and called by the churches. He also worked part-time in the Everett Christian Academy until its close in 1998. After the school's closing, he helped establish another Christian school called Harmony Christian Academy in Bedford, PA, where he served as a teacher and administrator. While pastoring at Clear Creek, he worked various part-time jobs, one as a counselor for the mentally disabled and as a security officer for 10 years. He also serves in the Breezewood Trucker Travel Ministry Management Committee since 1993 and for the last 10 years served as chairman of the committee. Since 1993, he served on the Roxbury Youth Camp Executive Committee as member at large and for the last 10 years as director of the camp. Okay. Now Sue, she puts out the church's monthly newsletter, The Cable, and with the help of Ruth and Vicki. Sue also makes the special music schedules for the radio program for the Sunday morning services and the revival services, and also reads children's stories on the radio program. She also oversees the Good Cheer Committee and has taught primary and junior class in the past, and also taught the kindergarten, lost my place, at the Hanover Christian Academy. She hosts the evangelist and church guest speakers in their house, and she sends birthday cards and anniversary cards to the congregation and collects the reports and prepares the 26-page agenda for the January council meeting. And as of October the 1st of this year, they will have been here for 35 years. And I want to thank the church here for them coming here for 35 years. They're only an hour away from our house. Before they were 5 or 6 hours away. Now we can get together. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. Now my brother and I, we worked together for I don't know how many years at the News Chronicle in Shippensburg, okay? And I don't know if he called a sister newspaper, not in the Valley Times Star in Newville, PA, and John would get down there once in a while, and he was a pressman, and I, circulation and photography, and I get down there once in a while. One day he came back from Valley Times Star, and he said, I saw her first. Speaking about Sue, okay? So I think he's trying to tell me something there, don't you? That was kind of a subtle hint. And then I remember, I don't know, 6 months, a year or so later, we were at, I don't know if it was a Shippensburg fair or what fair it was, but it was myself and maybe Greg, I don't know, and John and Sue, and we were going there. And there was a girl there that liked John. And I remember when that girl started, I don't know, talking to John or looking at John, Sue grabbed a hold of John's arms like, he's mine, you stay away from me, okay? I remember that, so. So there it started, 50 years ago, okay? 50 years ago is how it started and how we all got here. And I want to say again, thank you for having him here. Both of them, not just him, Sue too, okay? Because I haven't known Sue as many years as I have John. In fact, I've known him more than any other person right now. So now how do I go from this to go to the message? I think prayer. So let's just pause for a little bit of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are such a wonderful, wonderful God. And that song, dear Father, why would you ever choose us knowing what we are? You know, we are fallen human beings, dear Father, with a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's the way it was when we came to you. But Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this church here at Clear Creek and the family here, because each church, each truly believing church of believers, we're all family together throughout the whole world. Because, Father, we are the bride of Christ. And one day you're going to call us home and we're going to see your Son, Jesus Christ, face to face. So, Father, we are all part of that wonderful family, the family of God, because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Okay. Now, I'm going to be looking at Psalm 1 a little bit, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's not a very long psalm. It's only 6 verses. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Wow. Good verses and bad verses depending upon where you are. You know, we've already seen examples of what the life is. We know what our life is here, what brought us here. So, I don't know. I remember as a kid when we went hunting arrowheads, we'd had a little ditty. I don't know if John remembers it or not. We'd be hunting arrowheads and somebody would come up and say, "That's tough." Somebody else say, "What's tough?" "Life. What's life?" "It's a magazine. Where do you get it?" "Down at the store." "How much?" "50 cents. "That's tough." And we go over that again as we hunted arrowheads until we found one. Then we forget about it. And next time we went hunting arrowheads again, we do that. But you know, life is kind of tough, isn't it? Life is tough. If we all had perfect health, I don't think that, well, I could keep my hand away from that, don't I? Sorry about that. I'm not used to having one of these things here. Okay. But life is a little bit tough. I don't think anybody in here has ever had any health problems or family problems or anything wrong. We've all had a perfect life, haven't we? Nothing. But I think we all have. I think we've all had problems. I think we've all had times in our life when we wish that God would just say, "Oh, I'll take care of that for you." But he does. But he doesn't always take it away. But life is tough. And it has health problems, financial problems, difficulties for each one of us. But you know, when we look at the world, it kind of goes at a different drumbeat than we do, doesn't it? It's got a different, it goes after a different God. And I don't know if anybody here, maybe everybody here is too young. Anybody here remember Frank Sinatra at all? Okay. But you know what? He kind of made a song famous that has the world's way of doing things. And I'm going to read it, okay? The name of that song was "I Did It My Way." And here are the lyrics. "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way." And isn't that the way the world goes about it? We do it, they do it their way. And I wouldn't be afraid to bet that every one of us in here before we became a believer did it our way. We did life the way we wanted to live it and not the way God wanted to. And who knows, maybe some of us sometimes in our lives, even as believers, try to do things our way. But you know, it doesn't work out very well that way. Our prisons are full. We've drug people on drugs, doing it their way. We have people that are living homeless. Most of them, I believe, are trying to do it their way, because we go to the mission every month, and And I think the majority of the people we see there are people that are doing it their way and nobody else's way. So what lifestyle leads to a life that's worth living? Did you ever think about that? What's the difference between a life of heartache, of hopelessness, of wasted days, and wasted years? What is the difference? Well, about 1,000 or so years ago, there was a young man that found the secret to a life of worth living, okay? He knew the difference between wasted days and wasted nights, because at nighttime, when he was in the open field, he would look up at the stars at night. He'd keep watch over those few sheep that he had. And what would he do? He would take and meditate on the words of God. He would meditate on Scripture, the first five books, the law. He would meditate on those day and night. He knew what was worthwhile. He knew the secret of a life worth living. This young man was David. He wasn't a perfect man. He's a sinner just like what we are, but he loved the Lord. He was a shepherd boy who became king. David the man, and he penned the first psalm here. He loved the Lord, and he penned nearly half of the psalms in the book of Psalms. My Bible calls Psalm 1 the ways of the righteous and the ungodly. And that's what we're going to look at briefly this morning, okay? Matthew Henry said of this psalm, "This is a psalm of instruction concerning good and evil. It sets before us life and death, blessings and curses. It guides us into the right way, which leads to happiness, and it shows us how to live life and how not to live life, and what's going to cause the ruin in our life if we walk away from the Lord." And like I said, this psalm only has 6 short verses. So I usually don't do outlines, but I have a short outline here, okay? Roman numeral number 1, the ways of the ungodly. When we look at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Blessed, how happy is that man? Spurgeon tells us that the verse could be read this way, "Oh, the blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Because the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but walks in the way of God, is going to be blessed. And David tells us in Psalm 119, verse 115, he says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." You know, we're shown a negative and a positive. I've got to check this. It's on. I thought maybe I forgot to turn it on. We have a negative and a positive way of life shown to us here. And this man of Psalm 1, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His lifestyle is not a negative lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that is a positive lifestyle because he loves the Lord. He doesn't rebel against God. Instead, he keeps his heart pure and ponders God's word day and night. Isn't that what we should do? Read the Scripture and ponder it day and night. This man's steps are ordered by the Lord. He doesn't go out and jump first. He takes and contemplates on what the Lord has for him. It's a man who has given his life to the Lord. He desires to please his God in all that he does. And that's what we should do also. He doesn't stand in the ways of the sinners, of the unrighteous, of verse 1. He watches and takes care to keep his lifestyle different from all those hearts that is deceitful. This man has given his heart to the Lord, and that is whom he desires to serve. That is who he wants to please with his life. But those who do not walk, who do not stand, who do not sit with the godly, they will find that their hearts will be knit with those just like those. For those that we stand with, those that we draw close to, those we spend time with, you know, they're going to eventually draw us into their circle. If you ever see some gangs, you could take a young kid, he might be a good kid, and there's a bad gang over here. And he could take, and somehow he starts getting mixed up with those kids, and they're bad kids, and before long, he'll start thinking the way they do. He'll start doing the same things they do, maybe stealing or whatever. And pretty soon as he goes, he will not only be part of that, going with that gang, he will actually be part of that gang. He will actually think the way they do and live his life as they do. Next, the final giving of the ungodly man's heart is to them. But the righteous man does not go with this group. He does not agree with them. But the godly man has found new friends, friends that will pull him down and make his life worthless. He disdains the eternal God. He mocks the idea of God. He revels in scoffings against God. He says there is no God. There is no such thing as hell, eternal punishment. He does not believe in any of that now. He has kind of completely left God. The way and the life, the way of life and death, blessings and cursings are set before us in this psalm. But the foolish, the ungodly, choose rather to go the way of death and cursings and judgment. You know, I think as we look around us, especially in we see in the news a lot of time what's going on, we can see the people that have chosen that way. They have chosen a life of lying, of destruction, of hate, and they are the ungodly of this world. But that's not because they have an ignorance of God, no. They have a willful ignorance of God because they know who God is. They understand what He wants in their lives. But they do not want to listen to the will of the Creator. They have no desire to know who God is. Instead, they curse His name. Spurgeon tells us the imagery in this psalm is of an increasing toleration and comfort with sin. The downward slides begins by listening to the ungodly ideas and counsel, and it culminates with becoming like the ungodly. Those we hang around with, those we spend our time with, those who we give our hearts and life to, we will become like them. That's why the scriptures tell us to hang around and be with those who are godly, okay? Joshua 24, and Joshua said this. He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Boy, that's something we've got to think about in our hearts. Who are we going to serve? Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the, whose land ye dwell. But this is what Joshua said. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And probably, I think most of us are in here have probably chosen the same thing, to serve the Lord. Joshua, of his own will, chose to serve the Lord. He chose not to walk in the way of the evildoers, of the ungodly. He chose to follow the Lord. And he had a choice, just like each one of us and every human being has. But the ungodly always choose to walk away from God. He tells us in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Keep our minds and our heart on the Lord and His way. The way of the righteous man is as different from the ungodly man as day is from night. Roman numeral 2, the ways of the righteous. Verse 2, but his delight, I must be somehow touching something here. I don't know what it is. I think I'm touching the metal thing in my Bible. Okay. But his delight, the godly man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, looking at David, the shepherd boy, you know, we might think that he had a lonely life as he sat out on those hills at night with just those few sheep, looking up at the stars at night. But you know what? I don't think he was lonely at all. Why? He was meditating on the Word of God, on those first five books of the law. He was strengthened by it, directed by it, and he felt the warmth and companionship from the Lord as he took and meditated on those words of God that were penned by the Holy Spirit thousands of years ago. And you know, the Word of God can be like that too. Have you ever known when you're depressed and when you're down, you don't know which way to go? If you just take a few minutes, read some scripture, read a few psalms or something, talk to the Lord. He has a way to take and build us up. He'll strengthen us. He'll guide us. It's like he puts his arms of love around us and says, I'm right here. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. Just depend upon me. The Word of God is like that to us, I believe. We can feel His arms around. I know I've had times when I've been depressed and down or afraid or something, and the Lord is like He's put His arms of love around me. Charles Stanley said, I know he's already going to be with the Lord. But he said, let God's word shape your thinking. Let God's word shape our attitudes. Let it shape our emotions, our words that we speak, and our actions. And the more familiar that we become with Scripture, the greater our enjoyment and satisfaction in Scripture will be, and the closer we will come to be with the Lord. But the ungodly man, he rebels against all this, against the Lord's words and against his ways. But the righteous man, the godly man, follow his way. I got a frog, sorry. In Psalm 17:4b, it says, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The words of God's lips have kept us from the paths of the destroyer. I don't know what I'm touching or here doing. Sorry about that. Spurgeon asked the question to each of us, and I think this is an important question right here. He says, let me ask you this question. Is my delight in the law of God? Do we study God's word? Do we make Christ the man of our right hand, our best companion and hourly guide? He says, if we don't do this, then all the blessings for the righteous man in Psalm 1 don't belong to any of us, okay? We've got to take and we have to delight in the Lord, study his word, and make Christ the man of our right hand, the one that we depend on, the one that we call to, the one that we trust. Roman numeral 3. One produces a blessed harvest. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So, the righteous man, whatsoever you do will prosper. Doesn't mean he's going to be a millionaire, have all kinds of friends, be popular. Doesn't mean any of that. But in God's eyes, there is prosperity that is worth more than any of that. And who knows, he may even make a person rich too. But you know, we believers are like a tree that's lovingly chosen by God, lovingly planted, and then lovingly taken care of. We're not a wild olive tree that just grows up in the wild. But that's what the ungodly man is like. He's like a wild olive tree that grows up. No one ever takes care of it. No one waters it, tends it, or anything. Now, I remember as a child, and I think John probably remembers this too, we had an oxheart cherry tree in the yard. Man, it made the biggest, ripest, reddest, sweetest oxheart cherries you would ever taste. And every year that tree produced fruit, and we kind of took care of that. Maybe not as good as we should have, but we took good care of it. And every year we filled our bellies full of those cherries. But I remember in the garden, we had a big garden, half an acre, something like that, potatoes, corn, strawberries, peanuts. One year we had a really good crop of peanuts. But anyway, we had a pretty good sized garden. And in the way down in the bottom of the garden, we had a peach tree. I don't know if we planted it or if it came up by itself, but we never weeded around it. We never sprayed it. We never trimmed it. We never did anything with it. We just left it grow. And it produced fruit every year. It produced peaches. They were the ugliest, hardest, sap-covered, tasteless fruit you'd ever want to get. I tasted one once. It was awful. It was terrible. We never took care of that tree. And eventually, it was fit for nothing but to be burned. And that's what we did. We cut it down one year and we burned it. And that's the way it is with the unrighteous whose life is worthless before God. Their life is worth nothing but to be burned. The same with us. If we neglect the word of God in our lives, our fruit may have the look of something good, but when troubles come along and it produces a fruit, well, that fruit may not be what we think it is, okay? But it's only those planted by God, only those cared for by God, only those watered by the word of God are going to flourish in our lives, because we're all going to have troubles. We're all going to get older, okay? Spurgeon tells us, but the man who delights in God's word, being taught by it, bringeth forth patience in the time of suffering. I would never pray for patience, because you're going to have tribulations if you do, okay? But But the man who delights in God's word, who is being taught by it, that brings forth patience in our life in the time of suffering, faith in the day of trial, and holy joy in the hour of prosperity. Wow. Here we are. We're halfway through the psalm. Roman numeral 4, a doomed existence. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I think we talked about the chaff in the Sunday school lesson this morning, okay? But the ungodly, they're in complete opposition to what the righteous man does of verse 1. They're like the chaff and tares. They're worthless. But you know, chaff is like the husk of the wheat and barley or whatever, I guess. And by winnowing, you separate that chaff. I guess you throw it up in the air and the air comes along and blows that worthless part of the wheat away. That's the chaff, okay? It's the worthless part of that wheat or the seed. And the Lord tells us in Matthew 13:30. Now, I don't have this written here, but before that, one of the servants came to the master of the house and he said to him, he said, didn't we plant wheat in this field? And the master said, yes. He said, but somebody must have come and planted tares all through the field. There's tares growing up with the wheat. He said, should I go out there and pull out those tares? And the master said, no, don't pull those tares out. He said, because in doing so, you may pull out good wheat with it. So we go to Matthew 13:30, he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The wheat are believers. The tares are the unrighteous, those that don't take and want anything to do with the Lord. And they will in the end time, they'll be bundled together and they will be burned. The ungodly who disdain the word of God, the scornful of verse 1 is what they are. They have no love for the Lord, no love for his anything of him. They don't want anything to do with him. They're the chaff, and they will stand before the Lord at the judgment. And I don't know who I got this from, but it said, their deeds, the ungodly, are intrinsically worthless. They're dead, without substance, and easily carried away. Mark their doom. Death shall hurry them with its terrible blast into the fire which they shall be utterly consumed. You know, the Lord doesn't delight in the ways of the ungodly, but he takes pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. That's 147:11. To fear the Lord is to bring blessings into our lives. And he is eventually, he's working on each one of us as believers to make us into the image of his dear son. Has a lot of work to do in my life and probably a lot of work to do in all of our lives. Roman numeral number 5, only doom and guilt. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, there is a judgment to come in which every man's work is going to be seen by the Lord. Us as believers, we're going to stand before the Bema seat, and our works are going to be tried to see whether they are burned up or not. And whatever works are not burned up, then we will receive reward. But the ungodly will all stand at the great white throne judgment where their judgment, it would be too late for them to accept Christ at that point. If they will be judged for their works and ultimately cast into the lake of fire. They will be judged, they'll be found guilty because they've never placed their faith in the Lord, Jesus Christ. They had no desire to walk with him in life. Instead, they went carelessly about their life, flittering away their days, wasting their days. In Luke 12:16-23, Christ gave a parable of the rich man. He said, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And Proverbs 29:7 tells us, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth it not. This man had no desire for the poor to help anybody. And what does he do? What does the Lord say? Well, this man here, he said, I've got so much fruit and vegetables and I don't have a place to put them. I'm going to tear everything down. I'm going to build bigger ones. And I'm going to put all my fruits in there. And then I'm going to sit back and relax and have, just relax for the rest of my life and do what I want to. But what does God say? Well, I got ahead of myself here. And he said, the rich man, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt be, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? I think those two words, but God, every time we see but God in there, there's going to be a change somewhere, okay? And there was a change for this man, because this man had all these goods for these many years, but God said, now tonight your soul's required of you and you're going to stand before me. And you know, the day's coming when the Lord's going to separate between the believers and the non-believers in life. And that's going to be a bad day for some. Last verse, Roman numeral 6, a life worth living or a wasted life, which will you choose, which will we choose? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, he knows the way each of us are taking. He knows what we're thinking in our hearts. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. In Job 23:10, he said this. He said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And Job did. And I don't think any of us would want to go through what Job did. But the ungodly are going to perish. It'll be a wasted life, a life that was really worth nothing. They produced nothing of value, but they were like the chaff which the wind drives away. And I want to read a little bit this psalm. What are words, man's words, and what does man say without God? I'm going to read the lyrics again. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The records show I took the blows, and yes, I did it my way. And all those who stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment will have taken, that will have been their life's verse. I did it my way. I refuse to bow before the Lord. That's what the world does. They do it their own way. Refusing to kneel at the feet of the Lord of the universe, the creator of us and everything that exists. They mock him with all their life. But what about us? We should love the Lord. We should draw close to the Lord. We should stay close to him, reading his word in prayer. We should want our lives to be lives that he will take, and we stand before him. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want. This psalm, when I read over this psalm, this is reasserted in me the need to take and meditate upon God's word. And I like to read a scripture before I go to bed at night, and then I like to take and let the Lord meditate and talk to me about that Lord, about that word. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will take into our lives, and when we read his word and meditate it before we go to bed, how the Lord will take and work in our lives and show us things and teach us things that we have never known before. I want to read this again, okay? The last verse. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it God's way. Isn't that what each of us as believers can say? I did it God's way. I didn't do it my way. Now, I don't know. Maybe everybody here knows the Lord. I don't know. I hope so. But just in case somebody does not know the Lord here, it's very simple. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I heard a preacher say on the radio, he said, we all die, but we all live forever. Just depends upon where we're going to live. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be with him. We'll have the blessings of paradise. We will see his face and be with him for all eternity. Blessings, we have no idea how much, but we know they're going to be tremendous. But if you deny Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in total darkness, one happiness for all eternity. So if there is anybody here that has never come to Christ, I hope that you would now accept the Lord. Let's just bow in a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, two types of people, saved and unsaved, two types of lives, lives lived for you and lives lived for ourselves. Two destinies, one eternal paradise and joy and happiness with you, one eternal misery and unhappiness for all eternity without you. Father, if there's anyone here who has never placed their faith and trust in you, I would trust that you would just speak to their hearts now. And if they are unsaved and they don't come to you now, then I always ask that the hounds of hell be on their tails until they give their hearts to you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the blessings that you have given to us. And thank you for who you are, Father. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.